Okay, so finally I'm pleased to welcome Kate Stratton of the Gates Archive, where they explored some different options and decided to use Archive-It to build their 21st century clippings collection.
Ooh, thank you.
So I am Kate Stratton. I'm the collection development archivist from the Gates Archive in Seattle, and I'm going to be talking to you about an in-flight project that we're working on, looking at media monitoring services and what it means, as to use Nicholas's phrase from earlier, to expand the scope of the collection beyond the institution. So, my title is meant to be a little tongue-in-cheek. It's very subjective and totally absolutist, but it's a realistic framing of the question that I think many of us get, that I got, about our collections. How do we know that we are getting all of the important stuff that we should be getting as it relates to our collecting missions? So, to set the stage, provide a little context, I'm at the Gates Archive, which is a private family archive in Seattle. And our mission is to collect, preserve, and provide mediated private access to the personal and philanthropic archival collections of the Gates family. So, in the very broadest strokes, we collect from Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, and the records of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. As the collection development archivist, the collecting part of that mission is my job. And up to this point, we've been doing a pretty good job of growing our collections. I don't know if you can see the light gray. Light gray is our physical collections. We're sitting somewhere around 3,000 linear feet, which for our current 3,500 linear feet for our current space is capacity. So we'll be moving soon. And the darker blue is our born digital collection. And that doesn't include our web archives or any of our digitized content. But for our born digital collections, over the last 5 years, we are sitting somewhere around 18 terabytes. And we've been able to do this because we found some seamless system integrations. We've formed really strong partnerships with our donor organizations that are mutually beneficial. And we have also engaged in some web archiving, and that's what I'm going to talk about, since that's what we're all here to talk about. And this is really just an excuse for me to use my, oh man, it's not all the animations there, but I created this goofy animation for my talk at SAA last year on our web collection development. So specifically in our web collecting, we're capturing the official web pages of our donor entities, anything that they create or publish as part of their work. We also harvest all of the social media channels of the principal donors, so people and organizations. And we harvest with a one page plus. So if there are any articles or links that they think are significant enough to be sharing out on their broadly accessible channels, we will collect those too. And we also leverage our relationships with partners to gain awareness of upcoming new or significant publications that are about our principal collecting areas. So, for example, Melinda Gates was named to the Time top 100 this year, and for her work in advocacy in empowering women and girls. So our partners who work in her communications office let us know that this big piece was going to be published in advance, so we were able to proactively crawl that site. And all of this is pretty traditional. I think it's fairly comprehensive. But the question still arose. My director asked me, well, how do we know that we're getting all of the important stuff that we should be getting? What else is out there in the world? Could we be doing more? And then more specifically, he asks, what about media monitoring? And I had some initial responses to, like, gut reactions to that question. And I'm sharing these to acknowledge that some of you may be having the same initial reaction. But one thing, we have a very intentional culture at the Gates Archive, and one of the tenets of that culture is that we challenge the status quo, both in the profession and at our organization. In this case, I was really challenging my own assumptions. And so I was asking myself, well, what does it really say to our stakeholders if we're not getting the most readily available information about them, about the work that they're doing? What if we're not getting the basics? How can we claim to be the authoritative source of materials related to the Gates family if we are not going beyond what they are creating themselves? And then a more personal question I asked was, well, what if I said yes to this exploration? What would happen if I just walked down the road a little bit? So that's what I did. Taking this from Wikipedia, the information professional's trusted source. When we talk about media monitoring services, we're talking about services that, for a fee, will monitor broadcast, print, internet content. This is the web equivalent of a clipping service. And they'll provide clippings, usually links to, or short paragraphs or links to original content, reports and analyses. And these services are used by many industries, particularly PR firms and corporations looking for competitive analysis. But I wanted to see what it would mean in an archival use case. And if any of you have like an analysis use case, they do a really, really, really cool stuff. Similar to digital humanities, they're doing sentiment analysis, they're doing impact analysis, where things are published, what that means for the reach of the span of the content. Not our use case. So scope of media monitoring pilot. We're gonna look at what services are available, select a few to try, and then test it out, make a recommendation. So this was the short list we selected: Glean.info, Cision, and LexisNexis has a particular product called NewsDesk. These are all industry leaders, and we requested trial accounts and demos from them. To seed our trials, we tested some sample strings, Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and a few others, and then variants on all of those terms. And at the outset, we planned to evaluate two particular functions. We wanted to see how thorough they would be in their monitoring and discovery of relevant materials, sources. And secondly, we wanted to see if we could easily archive the results. In terms of identification, all of the services far surpassed our expectations, returning hundreds and even thousands of results from global sources. So those of you who listen to NPR might understand the scope of this issue. Every time a local NPR station mentioned that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was a sponsor of that particular segment, that was a new independent results and clipping. So at that point, we realized we needed to consider another criteria, which would be relevance and curation. So a look at what these workflows might be in, or were in, the web, in the monitoring services that we've looked at. This is what relevancy or curation would look like in the media monitoring services that we tried. The lightning bolts here point to actions that require human intervention. I put two next to reviewing thousands of results because I really want to emphasize the scope of that issue. I don't think I can overstate the time that might be required for human review and selection, and then repetition. And the multipliers for the repetition, and it's multiplied by number of search strings that you have, and then by the duration of the news cycle. So for every week, essentially, for people who are in the news often. And then we also looked at the archiving workflow. Similarly, pretty high touch from a human perspective. Archival preservation of the original source material is not part of Media Monitoring Service's business model, for copyright reasons, but also I think understandably it's not part of their business model because it's part of ours. And what it meant in terms of the workflow here was that there would be an export component transferring the identified selected content from the Media Monitoring Service into Archivit where it could be preserved. And in the export workflow had varying degrees of difficulty. So it might be a cut and paste from an email blast of hundreds of selected seeds individually into adding those as seeds to Archivit. The most efficient that we found was an export to a static newsroom site, which could then be targeted for crawling. But again, none of this was particularly efficient. So ultimately, taking these two workflows in concert and considering the sustainability of this model, the cost in terms of human resources that were required, I found it to be questionable. I wasn't ready to make that as a recommendation in terms of a path forward. So this is where I take a big left turn away from Media Monitoring Services. That's my right, this way, I'm gonna go left. And I started to think about those criteria that were not really being met by Media Monitoring. Archiving, archivability, and relevance. So I was asking myself, who does this well? We're all in this room together because we know that Archivit does web archiving well. And then for relevance, search engines, Bing, Google, this is their wheelhouse. They know how to do this well. So I wondered what, in comparison to those other workflows, this workflow might look like. And from a workflow perspective, the comparison is pretty clear. So I started talking with Archivit staff about whether this was doable. My initial test crawl included some invalid characters. So Mary, thank you for your help. She helped me sort that out. And we were able to get a successful test capture. There is a catch. We can't play it back yet. Engineers on the Archivit team are looking into it, and they've identified it as clearly a playback issue rather than a capture issue, which means that we can get here. We can get to all of these happy faces and then a work in progress. So from my perspective, the Archivit and newsfeed combo is the right choice for us for a few reasons. One, there's a cost savings. We're going to save $10,000 to $20,000 annually on a media monitoring subscription. Two, we're saving resources. We're going to save a bunch of time through these workflow efficiencies. We're going to better use our existing resources, which means take greater advantage of the tools we already have, like Archivit. And four, we get to work with our trusted partners. We get to build on a relationship with Archivit to collaborate and solve this remaining issue. So we're going to take a leap of faith. This is my public plug for the value of this piece of development work to the engineers in the audience. We're in it with you. We're gonna jump in the pool with you. And also a plug to my user colleagues. if you think that a supporting research collection, a current event collection, subject-based topical collection might be of use to your organization, I'd encourage you to think about this workflow and put your name in the hat, jump in the pool with us. Talk to me here. More importantly, talk to Arkva and let them know you think this is really cool. Can't wait for the development. That's it. That's me. This is us. We're all going to be flying corgis. Welcome any questions or feedback or thoughts, comments. Or we can just watch the GIF.